Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the GNSO Review Working Party call on the 3rd of March, 2015. On the call today, we have Edward Morris, Jennifer Sandiford, Klaus Stoll, Jennifer Wolf, David Maher, Amr Elstar, Robin Gross, Rafiq Damick, James Gannon, Philip Shepard, Bill Drake, Stephanie Parent, Mike Rodenbaugh, and Richard Wesley. I show apologies from Chuck Dome. From staff, we have Larissa Gernick, Marika Coney, Lars Hoffman, Charla Shambly, Mary Wong, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jen.
Thanks very much. Thanks to everybody for taking time today to join the call to provide feedback to the Westlake team on the working text of the report that will ultimately be issued on the review of the GNSO. I just wanted to note that I think on the record, and I wanted to make sure I have this correct, we've received 4 written comments, one from Bill Drake, one from Stephanie Perrin, one from Philip Shepard, and Chuck has sent around a partial document with comments. Did anybody else send anything that we might have missed? I just want to make sure we've provided everything to Westlake and that we've captured everything that's been circulated. And just so everyone knows, if following the call, if you'd like to provide your written comments or red line, of course, we welcome that and will be aggregated and provided to Westlake. As you can see with what's on screen before we get started, this is, of course, our meeting on March 3rd. Our next step will be to deliver all of the consolidated comments that arise out of this group to Westlake by March 20th. So we still have a couple of weeks to incorporate any other comments if after the call today you'd like to make more comments. So that's what our time frame looks like right now. What I'd like to try to do is to maximize the use of our 90-minute time today. We do have Richard Westlake on the phone, so he can answer questions, you know, initially respond to any concerns. We have mapped this out to essentially go through section by section of the document today. I had circulated in an email. I think our comments probably fall into, you know, 3, maybe 4 big buckets. One is if you think there are things that are factually inaccurate, that, of course, is very important to provide to the Westlake team. I know there have been some concerns about quotes or things that may be taken out of context, so we want to make sure they have that information. There have been some concerns about the conclusions, which we can make sure they're aware. And then I've noted there's also been some questions about the methodology, so those can also be raised today. So unless anybody has an opposition, we could essentially just start working our way through the sections. Does anybody have any opening comments they would like to make or questions they would like to raise to Westlake before we start down that path? And I see Mary has a question. Mary, do you want to speak to that before we move on?
Hi, Jen. Hi, everybody. This is Mary Wong. It's just to note that because we do have several participants on the call who are not Working Party members, and some have indicated their affiliations, I was wondering if it would be appropriate for those who have not done so to indicate as such.
Thank you. Is there any concern or objection to that? Okay, great. Then if I don't see any other comments, why don't we go ahead and move on. Richard, I'll just open it up to you. Did you have anything you'd like to state before we move on?
No, Jen, thank you very much indeed. I'm looking forward to it. I'm here for the full meeting, so I'm clear till 5:30 the next hour.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, why don't we go ahead and move right on into Section 5. Hopefully everyone has the working text in front of them. If you don't, please let us know, and we'll make sure that gets circulated. We'll go ahead and move on to Section 5. Are there comments about factual inaccuracies that you would like to raise with regard to Section 5? Okay, I'm not seeing anything. How about anything about quotes that were used or conclusions that have been reached in Section 5? Bill, please go ahead. Are you there? Can you hear?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I'm sorry. We are having a little bit of last-minute chaos because there was a NCUC response that I sent you several hours ago and thought that I sent to the list, but it turned out that the email address that I sent it from is not the one that I can't subscribe me to, which I didn't know. So it didn't go through to the list. I don't know if NCUC's comments have now been sent and received. I think Glenn just sent them to the list. Has anybody seen those?
I have the complete document that you sent.
Right, because I sent it to you and copied the list 3 hours ago.
Right, so I did receive that. It did not go to the list is the issue.
Apparently not.
Okay.
Okay, Mary is saying they have been sent to the list, but I doubt that anybody has read them yet.
Okay. Well, if you want to chime in on those comments, you're certainly, if you want to, as we get through
this
point.
Oh, yeah, this would be an extra bucket, right? So this is okay.
I hear somebody talking in the background. I don't know who was speaking or what that was. NCUC sent an extended reply that required a number of people coordinating, so. Unfortunately, it couldn't get done earlier, so I apologize to the other members of the working group for sending a reply right before the meeting. At the same time, the document that we received Wednesday afternoon in Singapore, we hadn't had a chance to see either, so it's sort of, I guess, in the same general category. I think we raised a number of concerns about the use of quotations, the methodology, and a number of other issues. And I could talk through all of those if people want me to do that, but it's a 10-page letter. So I'm not quite sure how to proceed.
I saw that, Bill, and I think what we want to try to do so that we can keep all of the comments organized is to actually go through the working text section by section. If you wanted to provide maybe an overarching statement about the methodology, because I noted that was a big part of it, and then as we go through the sections, if you wanted to come in at that point and raise them as we go through each section, would that work for you?
Yes, I suppose so.
Okay. Did you want to raise some questions about the methodology at the outset before we get into each section?
Well, you know, there were, again, I didn't write the parts. I didn't draft this letter. So, but concerns are raised about a range of issues concerning the use of the statistical approach and so on. Which I guess I mean, I really think people will need to read that in order to get their heads around it. But people are concerned about the size of the sampling and how reflective it is of the population sampled and so on. So there's a set of issues around that. Which I think would require a little bit more digging into. Then you'd asked about the questions of accuracy, and yes, there was an extended set of replies to the use of various quotes that were put into the draft report, which we were rather surprised by in their selective character and very negative tone about one part of the GNSO community. Which struck us as rather astonishing because they, generally speaking, were completely false comments and provably false if one were to actually look on the Internet and get information. So that raised some concerns in our view, and we outlined those at length. Now, again, I don't want to deter the whole discussion with a discussion of NCUC's concerns about the report that are not generalizable to the broader contours of the report necessarily. We intend to write more substantive, detailed comments later on about other aspects of the report, but we did want to respond to the characterization of NCUC now, and so that's what that set of comments do. So, again, it's up to you, Jen, how you want to proceed. I don't want to totally distract the broader conversation with this one issue. But I would like people to take a look at that. And again, I am sorry that the comments did not get through, but they didn't bounce back on deliverable from the address I sent them from, which is what I'd been told I was subscribed to by, but apparently I was not.
Well, no. First of all, thank you. Thank you for the comments, and thank you for the detailed response. I know maybe everyone hasn't had a chance to read through all of the comments completely, but that's okay for this purpose. I mean, these will all be included in the aggregate comments that we as a collective group provide to Westlake. So, again, I encourage any of you, if you want to provide supplemental written comments, everything that we have as a group will be delivered to Westlake. I think today what we want to try to do is to go through, like I said, to try to get through the different sections and add any additional comments and ensure everyone's voice is heard. If you haven't had a chance to provide something in writing or won't have time to, that we make sure we capture that in the call today. But certainly if you want to enhance anything that you've provided in writing, Bill, throughout the call today, please do so. I see Philip's hand is up, and then I do want to just make sure if there's anything else on the methodology that we get that in and then move into the section. So, Philip, please go ahead. Philip, are you there? I see your hand is up. Okay, we're not hearing you, Philip, if you're speaking. So I'm not sure if he's having a problem. Bill, was there anything else that you wanted to finish up on the methodology?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now we can. Yes, Philip, thanks. Please go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I needed to enable my microphone. Apologies for not doing that earlier. Thank you, Jen, for that. I thought Section 5 was very interesting in the results that it gave, in which there was quite a strong support in terms of the effectiveness of the working group model. And I just wondered if Westlake had some comment as to what they meant about effectiveness, because what I read in Section 5 was that the working group model had been successful in its attempt to be universal in its outreach. It was successful in being a good methodology related to a multi-stakeholder model. But what I didn't see analyzed as to effectiveness was any comment on the ability to deliver policy results in a timely fashion. And I wondered if Westlake had received comments on that or if we're to see those sort of things at a later stage.
Richard, can you respond to that?
Thank you, Jen. Yes, I'm happy to do that. Thank you, Philip. Look, we did make some comments about that, and we received quite a lot of input on the timeliness, and there was quite a range between those who felt that policy development through the working groups was unduly drawn out and lengthy, and those some people, probably a similar number, I would say, overall, who felt that that was part of the nature, firstly, of the consultative iterative process that ICANN adopts, and secondly, of necessity through the use of volunteers, that if one tried to accelerate the process too much further, you would start to limit the number of people who could participate simply because of the availability of their time. And as you'll see under our comments on the working group model, there is one of the key caveats about the effectiveness of it was that there are still only relatively few volunteers who do most of the work. And I think we have a table in there, in the draft, the working text that you have at the moment, showing the number of people who drop off after sitting on only one working group. So there is a huge attrition rate, and I think one of the comments we've had was that people found that the burden of it was actually quite intensive, and so to try and accelerate as well would only limit that further, and we've already commented on some of the demographic aspects of participation as well. We certainly have commented on it. I'm sorry if it's not clear enough at the moment, Philip. Thank you.
That's okay. Maybe my recollection of reading it all is not as good as it should be. Did you feel that there was any correlation between attrition and achievability of a group?
Very good question, Philip. To be quite honest, no, we didn't. Because it's very difficult, I think, sitting where we were, to assess the effectiveness of each individual working group, which is why we did rely to quite a degree both on the 360 responses and on the results of our interviews, and that led to a lot of our conclusions. Going back to the question about the methodology that we had earlier on in this morning, could I say that if people have concerns about statistical size, I'd suggest a lot of them take a look in a mirror, because we sought input as often as we possibly could. We tried to get participation, and there are some people, even some people sitting on this call, who simply did not complete either of the two 360s, and to now complain that there aren't sufficient responses, I think is marginally defensive.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Stephanie, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, and in my defense to the last remark, I certainly would have filled out the second one had I known. Somehow I missed it. I think you have to understand that we're very busy and there's a lot going on. And that leads to the remark that I was going to make. I made a number of comments about this problem of stakeholder burnout and participation in the PDP. And I think certainly as far as Section 5, yes, the PDPs, I think, are a success.
Stephanie, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know if anybody else is. Can you get closer to the phone, maybe?
Todd, can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better. It sounds a little echoey. It's just hard to hear you.
Okay, well,
That's better. That's better.
Is that better?
That's better,
okay.
Yes. Please go ahead.
What I would say in terms of burnout is this seems to me where most of the work gets done at ICANN, and it's a major problem that the same people are signing up for working groups. I recall Mikey O'Connor reading the stats out that came in the ATRT, and then, of course, promptly leaving, somewhat burnt out, about two meetings later. If some of the key players were to leave, our working groups would be decimated. So I would think that we need a lot more work on how to resolve this problem. That's basically all I wanted to say. I think that we can talk about recruiting new people, but the knowledge threshold that they need to feel that they are making a useful contribution on working groups is too high. It is putting off some of our new recruits. I think that's an issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bill, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly reply to Richard's point about people complaining about sample size if they didn't do the 360. I think that at the time that the 360 was sent around, a lot of people were very busy with other things. And the expectation that a lot of people had, certainly people I knew, was that what the report was going to be doing was going to be focusing on the GNSO, PDP process, the working groups, things like that, not necessarily getting into having commentaries about individual constituencies or stakeholder groups, etc. So I think people didn't necessarily feel that it was terribly pressing that they do that. Now, I recognize that that's unfortunate and that I wish more people had responded to it. But at the same time, I don't think it's sort of hypocritical to raise questions about the larger implications of generalizing from the sample sizes, and yet at the same time not to have mobilized all your members to have participated. I think that there were a lot of reasons why people didn't. They didn't understand really, particularly the ones who are not active in working groups and things like that, or have not been on the GNSO Council. I think a lot of people just didn't feel that motivated. We sent around the notice about it, to let people know what's happening, that they should do it. But, you know, you can't compel members to do it. So, but that doesn't necessarily invalidate the concerns, in my view. So anyway, that's that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate that. I know we struggled and worked hard as the working party to try to make it as accessible as possible to create various versions that were shorter versus longer. And it's always a struggle, I think, and anytime we're trying to generate support and for people to spend time doing things. But hopefully we've at least gotten a strong number of responses based upon the effort that was put into this and clearly sufficient to base their methodology on those responses. And certainly, Richard, if you want to respond any further on that point.
Jen, thank you for that. Look, I don't think there's a lot of point in pursuing it. It is what it is. We have the results we have. We have the interview results we have. And in fact, as far as the original terms of reference went, we have stuck not just we've been working to the terms of reference for anybody who cared to read what the purpose of the review was and the methodology, but we've gone extensively further because the terms of reference referred to limited interviews if necessary. We certainly thought some were, and we've now completed, if I remember rightly, somewhere around 40 interviews. So we have certainly gone, and I think we've taken huge efforts, made huge efforts, put in huge resource to try and get as broad and as broad and generally representative set of comments and input as we could. Now, some of those comments perhaps are not of everybody to everybody's taste, but they are the comments we have received, and where we've included them, we thought we included them because we felt A, they were relevant, and B, they weren't exceptional in the ones that were made to us. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, and just to that point on the comments, this is certainly for anybody, you know, on the working party, or if you think that there are comments that are inaccurate or you have concerns, please do, you know, put them on the list so that we can make sure Westlake has a record of those concerns. We want to make sure that certainly all of the voices are heard on that issue. I want to try to keep us moving forward. I've got us at almost 25 past the hour, and we have a lot to get through. So on Section 5, which is the Adopt a Working Group Model, and I see, Stephanie, I think that's an old hand. Is that a new hand that you have up? No, okay, thank you. Any other comments on the Section 5, which is Adopt a Working Group Model? Anything you want to raise in terms of factual inaccuracies, concerns about quotes, anything related to conclusions or recommendations that are provided, or just a question that you want to raise to Richard while we have him on the phone? Anything else on Section 5? Okay, I'm not seeing anything, so we'll go ahead and move on to Section 6. Which is revise the policy development process. Any comments or questions, again, we're generally looking at factual inaccuracies that you want to bring to Westlake's attention, comments that you think may be out of context or might not be appropriate, or anything about conclusions reached in Section 6. No hands. I'm trying to make sure nobody's putting anything in the chat. If there is anything, please raise your hand. Even if you're an observer, if you'd like to say something, please don't hesitate. I want to make sure we get everything heard. Mike, please go ahead.
Hey, Jen. We had a question come up from one of our members asking, what is the interplay between this review and what the SCI, the Standing Committee on Improvements, is doing?
What is the interplay? I'm not sure I totally understand that question.
Well, apparently there's this SCI group, and maybe this is a better question for staff to answer. Maybe it obviously doesn't have to be answered on this call, but I do want to get an answer back because she's our IPC rep on this SCI group, which is basically tasked, as I understand it, with suggesting changes to the PDP.
With regard to this section. Okay, I understand. If I can frame it correctly, you're saying on this Section 6, revise the PDP process, how does that work with the work that the SCI is doing? Is that your question? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I see Ron's hand is up, and I know he has been the chair of the SCI. So, Ron, I'm going to let you jump in if you'd like to address that.
Yes, thank you. Exactly, Jen. I wanted to respond to Mike. The Standing Committee on Implementation Improvements basically takes up issues that are referred to it predominantly by the GNSO Council, and effectively where policy has been developed and it's a bit of a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. At that point, the SCI would take it up and try to give it some deep consideration as to how we might resolve that issue and put it back to Council to then put into implementation. So in this particular case, this study does not have any impact on SCI activities at all at this stage of the game. I hope that answers your question, Mike.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. And does anybody else have another comment or question on that point? Thank you for raising that. Any other comments about Section 6 of the working text? And Mike and Ron, I think your hands are down now, but they're still up. Richard, did you want to add something?
Jen, yes, thank you. I'm just watching the chat coming through, and there is one comment where to begin with all the inaccuracies.
Okay.
We would be very keen to have the written comment on what all the inaccuracies are or are perceived to be, because then we can address it. But with a comment like that, it's very hard to know what the concerns are. So thank you. We look forward to receiving the input.
Thanks, Richard. And yes, absolutely. For anyone on the call, if there are inaccuracies that you see, we definitely want to have those documented so we can provide that to Westlake and try to avoid inaccuracies coming out in the report. So absolutely. For now, any other comments on Section 6?
One other.
Ron? Go. Is that Richard? Let me try to go in order up. Who's got their hand up? Ron, do you still have your hand up? Ron? No, Stephanie.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to raise an issue that I think might help here. I certainly understand Westlake's concern that some of us haven't read the terms of reference. I have read the terms of reference. I believe we actually had a discussion in London about the limitations of the terms of reference given the scope of the review that was required. And I think some of my concerns are not just about the original 360 assessment, which I did take, but what about the kinds of comments that were elicited in the interviews which lead us outside the terms of reference? I understand Westlake's position that they've bitten off a lot here and done a lot of extra work, but perhaps terms of reference need to be enlarged, and we need to go back and do this. I hate to use the word properly, but if you're going to raise issues that are outside the term of reference, then you have to address them in a statistically reliable way. So I think we're going to be stuck with the kind of feedback that you're hearing and reacting to if we don't either scope a whole lot of things outside the term of reference, so very narrow, or broaden them and deal with things in a more methodological way. Thanks.
Stephanie, could you just clarify, when you're saying terms of reference, could you just clarify what you mean by that, please?
In the terms of the contract. I believe Richard said a minute ago.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what you're saying. Okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure we understood.
If you're going to do a few interviews and you're going to quote extensively from them so that they make up basically what appears to be, and we won't know until we see the next draft, the gist of the report, then that interview sample has to be more rigorous, I would suggest. And I'm afraid the squeaky wheel approach was used on. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Mike, is that a new hand up I see?
Yeah, Jen. Just following up on the earlier question about the SCI, we have a similar question about the PDP that's ongoing, the Policy and Implementation PDP. and feel like there should be some mention in this section as to the interrelationship between this review and that PDP, if any?
Okay, that's great. Thank you. So you're suggesting that Westlake consider cross-referencing that PDP that's ongoing that could overlap some of the recommendations here. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you for that comment. Very helpful. Larissa.
This is Larissa Gernick. Thank you, Jen. I just wanted to provide a clarification to one of the comments in the chat regarding interviews that there were comments that staff discouraged interviews. So I just wanted to correct that. It is not accurate. Staff did not discourage interviews. Just the opposite. Staff worked with Westlake and the members of the GNSO review party to make sure that people would respond to interview requests. The original methodology that was presented by the Structural Improvements Committee of the board, who oversee this entire review process, called for limited interviews and a much more heavy reliance on the quantitative methods of collecting information, which would be through the 360 survey and desk review of documents. So we had a limit from the get-go based on the methodology that the Westlake team agreed to that had a constraint on the number of interviews. And when Richard talks about the fact that interviews extended to 40, that was a considerable increase from the original number that was contemplated, once again, based on the guidance from the Structural Improvements Committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. So in the interest of trying to keep us on time, I'm going to go ahead and move on to Section 7 of the report, the restructure of the GNSO Council. Any comments to provide on factual inaccuracies, again, quotes that you have concerns about, or conclusions reached? Yes, Philip, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of comments here. One, Richard, you might have noticed in the comments I'd submitted in writing a couple of days ago, in terms of scope, which relates very much to structure and the subject of this section, I had suggested inclusion of that original September 2013 board resolution. I want to know that you're happy about so including, because that, I think, gives a very helpful overviews to what is generally expected here. And the second question here is, I note that in your conclusions, you're saying you're still thinking about this. I just wanted to know what your timing was in terms of being able to complete this section.
Again, would you like to respond to that? Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Two things. Firstly, Philip, thank you. Really, we have received your pretty comprehensive set of comments. Thank you. I have to say we have not had a chance to review them in any depth at this stage, so I can't say either way whether it will actually appear in the report, in our final report or our draft report. As far as timing goes, we're scheduled to deliver a complete working text by about Tuesday of next week, as far as I can recall. So we will have the next working text then, where we will have drawn some conclusions. And we will have made those comments. And as you know, about a month later, we're scheduled to produce the full draft report to go to public comment. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you very much, Richard. I mean, my earlier comment was merely asking you to include an ICANN board statement verbatim. So I hope that's not going to be a problem.
Thanks, Philip. Let me go to it, and we will certainly take that on notice, and I'd probably have no problem with it, but of course one's editing the whole time. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Stephanie?
Thank you. There was a comment that I didn't make in my comments with respect to the absence of a strategic plan for the GNSO, and it's really a question. I am new. I am wondering if the strategic plan for the GNSO, if one exists, I think it's a good idea, rather than simply reacting to what is going on. But it needs to be somewhat separate, given its policy and more or less oversight function. It needs to be separate from the ICANN, which is a plan, in my view. And I didn't make that point in my comments, so I'd like to make it now.
Thank you, Stephanie. Do we have other comments? Larissa, did I see your hand was up? Did you need to speak?
No, I lowered my hand. Thank you so much.
Just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it. Okay. Any other comments on Section 7, the GNSO Council portion of the working text? Any factual inaccuracies, quotes, comments of concern that you want to raise or questions you want to raise to the Westlake team? And I note the question going on in the chat, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep track of the chat as well, about how the interviews were determined. Richard, is that something you want to address, or Larissa, would you like to address that question? Because that seems to be an ongoing question here.
Jen, we certainly went through the, first of all, what we tried to do was to get greater depth of understanding around some of the results of the quantitative 360 and the qualitative remarks that came with that. We also then made some fairly extensive efforts early on in the piece before the Los Angeles ICANN meeting to get as broad a range of interviews arranged as possible. And despite what I would have to say were some fairly extensive efforts, which I think a number of people are aware of, we were simply unable to get responses from some people, and from some people it was very difficult indeed to arrange a time. We had a very intensive period of about 20-something interviews during about 4 days at Los Angeles, in addition to observing several constituencies, stakeholder groups, and other meetings. And then what we also did was then reach out after Los Angeles for further interviews for people we'd been trying unsuccessfully to reach. And then when we thought we had a reasonably good range, we then had a final round of people who either decided 3 months later to respond to our request for an interview or found that they hadn't been interviewed and felt they should be, some of whom we had in fact attempted to contact earlier on. So we in fact ended up doing, we have been completing interviews right into this year, to the point it has grown to 40. At this stage, I can't say the breadth and representative nature overall in a quantitative sense, but I can say that we worked very hard to try and make it representative from the start. And there were several areas where we would have liked to try and get more input from particular groups or constituencies, but simply received no responses, or one way or another, an interview became impossible. And so we have qualified any recommendations. We haven't drawn conclusions based on what we believe is maybe one or two comments or one or two pieces of evidence. We have only been firm where we have been, the strength of our recommendations has been proportional to the depth, quality, and in our professional judgment, the reliability of the information and evidence we have been able to receive through the range of research, which has been, as I say, the interviews, the 360, the working group 360, and also extensive review of documentation and observation of some meetings. And the purpose of this feedback round at the moment for the next few weeks is in fact to highlight any specific factual inaccuracies, or for people to feedback to us where they do believe we have been wrong, and we would very much appreciate their comments on what they believe is wrong, why they believe it's wrong, and what they believe we should, or rather the correct evidence is, so that we can cross-check and that we can then correct any inaccuracies. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Richard. Larissa, I see your hand has been up.
Thanks, Jan. Richard actually just made the statement that I was hoping to make as well, so I will just use my 1 minute here to reiterate how important it is to please provide your feedback, clarifications, factual inaccuracies to Westlake through the list and through all the different means that have been set up to do that. So the purpose of this time of reading through the working text and providing that feedback is so that concerns and clarifications would be considered by Westlake prior to the creation of the draft report. So that is precisely the purpose of this effort that we're undergoing right now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Larissa. And yes, absolutely. Again, and if it doesn't get in during the call today, please don't hesitate. We have until the 20th of March to provide our feedback, and all comments are welcome and will be aggregated and delivered to the Westlake team. So, you know, I see in the chat, and it's the chat's moving rather quickly with all the comments, but if you do have inaccuracies that you see, please do let us know, chime in during the call today, or send them around on list, and we'll make sure that those are included. So I think, Stephanie, I see your hand is up. I'm not sure if that's an old hand. Is that a new hand?
Yes, I took it down and put it back up again.
Okay, perfect. Go right ahead. Thank you. Go ahead.
I can see that the methodology of the interview selection is going to remain an issue, and I would suggest that if you're not willing to drop it because of its methodological problem, then at least do an analysis of who you interviewed, which stakeholder group. A nice little pie graph would be good to see. I did an off-the-cuff estimate of how many staff you interviewed, and I think it's out of whack, not that staff opinion isn't great, but it's hardly what you'd rely on in a GNSO stakeholder review, I would think. So we need to know which constituencies were interviewed, and I think it'd be very interesting to interview some new people. I mean, I'm not just being egotistical here. I don't know what the methodology was for selecting people, and we need to see that explained, particularly in such a small sample. So I don't want to beat a dead horse on that, but if you're not going to downplay the use of the interviews to get a fact and opinion, then you have to position it and acknowledge the weakness, in my view. I understand that you were up against it, getting the samples, but that still doesn't compensate for a methodology that's flawed, in my view. And I don't mean this as a criticism of Westlake. It's a criticism of all of us that somehow this didn't happen correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bill, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Sorry. This is just because the conversation is a little bit moving across different spaces, and I, you know, that's inevitable in this situation. I think that, you know, given that we are dealing with some serious concerns about one particular part of the report, that's obviously going to shape the way people are perceiving the larger set of issues, and obviously we're going to have to come back later on and respond in more detail on the suggestions with regard to other sections of the report. On just this Section 8 that I know we haven't come to yet, though, since we were raising questions of interview. I was just wondering, the quotes that are selectively put in there, the 2 pages of negative quotes about NCUC, for example, are those, I just wanted to know as a point of information, are those quotes from text comments submitted, or were those quotes from interviews? Richard, are those interview quotes?
The quotes that we've raised are both, they're a selection from both the written quotes within the 360s and also, in some cases, the interview notes. So it is a selection of the two.
A selection of the two. And when you use a quote, just so I understand, since if a quote is a specific wording, I'm presuming that's one person's quote, correct?
Where we have used each specific separate quote in there is a specific quote, yes.
Okay. So So these are comments from one individual that you decided should go into the report. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
If I could perhaps just comment on that, what we have done is tried to choose a selection, a representative selection of the comments that we have received. We have just taken them verbatim. One or two times we have, edited simply to get spelling correct because people have been obviously in a rush on the 360. And I think what we have also already seen in some of the feedback is that where some people believe that they know exactly who said something, they've actually turned out that that wasn't the case. Not that we have told them, but we've had one person in particular come back to us later and said, look, I got that one wrong. So
yes, I remember Aubrey's email. Can I just say, though, just so I understand, it appears that the only quotes that are used are about civil society. And I'm just wondering, is there a particular research design rationale for that?
I'm sorry, I don't follow the question, Bill.
As I look at your report, there's one paragraph about the registries, one paragraph about the registrars, and then an extended set of negative comments about NCSG and NCUC. So from that, should I conclude that in all of your discussions, nobody had anything critical to say about any other part of the GNSO, and only the NCUC and NCSG were criticized, or were criticized in ways that seemed ripe enough to be fun to include?
Bill, without going into sort of too much detail and depth here, what we have included, as I said before, is a representative sample of the interview comments we received. If we could have the feedback, the written feedback from people who have concerns about this, we are most willing to go back right through our report, which we will be doing after we receive the feedback, and rather than making changes on the hoof, now, we look forward to the feedback so that we can go through again and confirm the representativeness of what we have, and not just the representativeness, also the relevance of what we have. And if there is something where we see that either a quotation we have made is either misleading or unhelpful to the report, then we would be perfectly willing to change that. So we do.
Fabulous. We very much look forward to engaging with you more on both the issues of representativeness and relevance. And I think the letter we sent you is a starting point for that. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. And thank you, Richard, for restating that again. If you see things that you think are inaccurate or have concerns, this is definitely the time to raise them. And, Bill, if there are supplemental comments that you want to submit, please do make sure we get those by the 20th. I also, just on the note of the interviews, I'm not sure, Richard, I don't recall off the top of my head in the report if there was a place where the methodology of how those who were interviewed was selected. I know it looks like that you're planning to add, what their role is or what their affiliation is. Is that something that you will be updating, Richard, where we can have that information included in the report, since this seems to be an important issue to a lot of people?
Hello, Jen. Yes, thank you for the question. Look, clearly it is an issue for people. We will certainly strengthen our comments there on the methodology of how we selected the interviewees. Thank you.
And is it, I assume that we can list their role within ICANN, since that's to try to have some sort of was it representative? Was that possible, or were there promises made to not include that information?
No, where we've listed names, we will be including the roles. For the purposes of getting the original working text to you, we thought at the very least the names, and in most cases people would know which groups they did represent, and in many cases, as you'll look through the list, you'll see they have multiple hats within the ICANN community, but we will certainly be listing their principal role or roles.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'm going to try to keep us moving. I think we were moving up to Section 8 of the report, which is to enhance the constituencies, and I know we've been crossing over some of these broader issues on methodology and who was interviewed, and I think that's very productive, so I appreciate everybody being patient as we work our way through the report. As we move on to Section 8, Enhanced Constituencies, And I know, I think this is probably where, Bill, a lot of your comments came from, was in this section. But above and beyond the comments that have already been made, are there factual inaccuracies? Are there concerns about conclusions and so on that we should raise for Richard? Bill, I see your hand is up. Is that a new hand for this section?
No, it is not. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. Philip, I see your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Jen. I think there's a significant, slightly misleading statement on page 91, which I had mentioned in my written submission a couple of days ago. And that is the second paragraph on page 91, which currently reads, in theory, the current GNSO structure provides for the creation of new constituencies so that a wider range of views can be represented. And I think it's very telling that that's in the draft report that we see before us, because I think that assumption is something that I have seen amongst members of the GNSO, long-standing and new. It's a presumption that I've seen among members of the Board Governance Committee. And alas, it is a presumption that is inaccurate, because the truth is today that although the generality of new constituencies exists, the ability to create new constituencies is a function of the charters of the stakeholder groups. And hence, the suggested clarification that I had suggested in my notes was the following, which is the current GNSO structure, which predates new types of TLDs and the underlying charter of the stakeholder groups, provides for the creation of new constituencies only in two of the four stakeholder groups, namely the commercial stakeholder group, non-commercial stakeholder group. The charters of the registry stakeholder group and the registrar stakeholder group do not allow for new constituencies. And I think that point is very important and should be clarified in the report. And Richard, I hope you're happy to make that clarification.
Philip, again, look, thank you for the comment. We will certainly be going back through some of those charters based on the feedback you have sent, Philip, and if that's correct, we will certainly amend what we've said in our working text.
Thank you.
Thank you, Philip, and thank you, Richard. Bill, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to raise a different question as long as we're on this section, and it's not about NCUC, you'd be pleased to know. It's about the larger design of the study, I guess, in a way. It concerns the table on page 78, where the views of various subgroups about of respondents about the different stakeholder groups and constituencies are reported. And I think rather misleadingly, it starts out by saying, this table shows the extent to which, and it doesn't. What the table shows is not facts, but rather perceptions. So I think the table should be labeled appropriate. But leaving that aside, what I'm not understanding is, what is the value of asking other people about whether a particular group manages its workload effectively? If they are not part of that group or applies metrics, they're not going to really know that. Whether the executive committee is balanced, they're not really necessarily going to know that unless they chose to do something like look at a web page. So I guess what I'm wondering is, this is a snapshot of some perceptions of some people in the GNSO about other parts of the GNSO, maybe their parts as well, but it is just perceptions. And wouldn't it have been useful to perhaps compare those perceptions to actual numbers where one could some of these could be found, like whether an executive committee is balanced by geography, race, gender, whatever, and then, like, take note of the difference between two. I think one of the interesting questions is, are the perceptions that people have of their community accurate, and do they comport with the facts? And if not, that's, Richard, I would think that's an interesting thing to talk about. I mean, if we have a situation where all the people who are part of this community sort of have feelings or views about each other, each other's groups that shape the way they would represent them without having consulted real information for making the assertions, that's an interesting thing to take note of and to talk about why, I think. And I'm just wondering, why not do that? I mean, why not compare these numbers about perceptions to some real numbers about reality? Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. And I think, and I'm going to ask Richard to clarify this, but I'm looking at the table on page 78. I think that is taken from those who self-selected themselves in the 360 as one of these groups, and that's how those numbers were tabulated. But, Richard, could you possibly explain that a little more, how that table was calculated?
They are members of those groups?
I think that's correct, Richard.
Okay, because the previous table says N represents the total number of respondents regardless of affiliation. So I assumed that was...
Richard, maybe you can provide some clarification.
Okay.
I thought that's where this came from, but maybe that's not. Could you clarify that, please? Richard, are you still on?
Yes, I am indeed. Sorry, Jen.
Go right ahead, please.
Now, are we talking about the table where we go through the stakeholder groups and constituencies where we're getting positive responses, the percentage giving positive responses?
He was referencing page 78 of the working text. There's a table there that shows each of the groups, and then the executive committee balance encourages new people. There's a number of columns across here. So I think just trying to get clarification on how those calculations were made.
Right.
And on what basis.
That is quantitative from the 360. We have N in the right-hand column showing the total number of people who commented on this particular aspect, and these are the percentage of total respondents who either responded strongly in favor or in favor.
Okay, we understand that part, Richard. What Jen was asking you was the N there. These are subgroups, right?
Yes.
Those are not necessarily... So the 23 responding about the registry stakeholder group are not necessarily members of the registry stakeholder group, correct?
No, not all necessarily.
Okay, so they could be from anywhere. Okay, so they're selected. That's how I read it. So 27 people from the 152 had comments about whether or not NCUC's executive committee is balanced, just to use that as an example. And they obviously did not consult our website or know anything about us before decided 48% said no. So my question is, why wouldn't you compare these numbers to actual numbers and take note of the difference? That would be interesting.
What do you mean by actual numbers, Bill?
Well, I mean, you could verify, or you could look, you could get the information about the composition of executive committees of each of the groups, right?
We could. Whether we could get an objective view of whether it is also appropriately representative is not actually a totally objective decision. So we rely on the people who choose to comment. In most cases, the people who commented on particular stakeholder groups or constituencies have or had an involvement in that stakeholder group or constituency. Very few people commented on either constituencies or stakeholder groups through the later parts of the 360 who had not themselves been involved with it. It was one of the qualifying questions at the start. Have you, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was along the lines of are you or have you been involved with this particular constituency or stakeholder group? And every single section of the 360 asked that question at the front. And I can't remember a single person, Larissa may be able to correct me, but going through the responses, I can't remember a single person who had not been involved with that group or was not currently involved with that group who commented on either a stakeholder group or a constituency.
Okay, so now you're saying what Janet said.
They are people, although they are self-selected, they are people who have self-selected based on their previous experience. Certainly the majority of, if not in total.
And when you get the full draft, you will see the full wording of the 360. And for those who chose to complete it, there was some generic questions to, for start at the start. I think about 11 questions to start with, or statements to start with. And only after that did the 360 break into the specific sections of stakeholder groups and constituencies, which is where the filter, the self-filtering took place. So although it was voluntary, anybody could have gone in there, in practice, I think it was actually pretty much self-limited to people who had, in fact, had first-hand view, so it wasn't just broad overall comments.
Okay. It would be really helpful to know that for sure, because that changes, that affects a lot here. But my question is, and again, I'll stop, Jen. I know I'm going over.
Jen, if I could just quickly clarify that. I think the question, the statements, the survey statements, when you see them, the survey statements from the 360, it'll be quite clear how the 360 progressed through it. The first 11 sections, and then the subsequent ones, which, as I say, were for people who had an involvement.
Totally understood. Thank you, Richard. Again, the point, my question was, might it not be useful or interesting to you to compare these subjective numbers to real numbers? You can get numbers on the geographic diversity of a group. You can get numbers on whether there's geographic gender balance in a group. I mean, there are some of these things. Manages workload, okay, that's hard. But some of them, you know, there is actual number that's available, right?
No, Bill, I think that's a great point, and Richard, I don't know if you can respond to that right now or if that is going to be somewhere in here, but maybe there is a way where you're talking about, you know, the executive committee or something that can actually be benchmarked against what's actually on, you know, their website or some sort of fact that supports that. That might be helpful just to know, did what people think match up with what's actual? I don't know,
Jen,
if that's possible to include that.
If we could actually have the particular issue just I've got it. I think what the question is or the concern is, but if we could have that in the feedback that comes to us, we will certainly take a look at it. And again, if it appears that it will either affect or strengthen our recommendations or our conclusions, we will certainly consider including it.
Great, thank you. So I see. I think Stephanie, I think that is a new hand from you. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. And I realize I'm monopolizing the microphone here. But I wanted to emphasize a point I made in my comments in a one-liner. I really would like to know where the recommendation that travel support should be prioritized to individuals who satisfy ICANN that their participation would be valuable, but that they would not otherwise be able to attend. I think this is quite a dangerous route to go. Not that we all don't know people who come to meetings and frankly aren't there when the heavy lifting is going on, but I think that there's a fundamental point of the nature of ICANN as an organization, as an institution. There is ICANN corporate, including staff and the board and the CEO, and there are the stakeholders. And if ICANN is truly a multi-stakeholder organization, then there has to be a considerable weight placed on the authority of the stakeholder groups to make decisions about who's doing the work and whether they're useful. And it may not be working perfectly, but I would worry a great deal because staff's incentives are notoriously different than the incentives of the stakeholder. And I speak as a former government person who would have loved to have a few stakeholders drop into the sea on certain occasions. But, so I don't mean this in a malicious way, but we just have to recognize, and I'm busy doing institutional ethnography on this, that's how you have to tease it out. Their goals are different. And so I'd like to know where this observation came from, this recommendation, and whether you have any intention of changing it just because I object to it. Thanks.
Richard, is that something that you want to respond to right now, or take into consideration?
Look, I think I would much rather that we can consider the comments that are coming when they come
yes.
through.
certainly.
Thank you, rather than going into detail.
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely. That's what I thought. I know that's that was a big question. So I think that's an important question and one for you to take under consideration. Thank you, Stephanie. Let's. Is there anything else under Section 8? Bill, I think, is that a new hand from you, Bill, or is that from before?
I'm sorry.
I think that was before. Okay. Anything else closing out on Section 8? I want to make sure we get through each section before we get to the end of the time period here. I'll go ahead and move on to Section 9 then, which is improving communication and coordination within ICANN structures. Are there any comments on factual inaccuracies, concerns about conclusions reached? Okay, I'm not seeing anything. The final section, other than the appendix, is the GNSO structure, which was Section 10. Any comments here on factual inaccuracies, concerns about what was in here that you want to bring to the attention of the Westlake team? Philip, please go ahead.
Thanks. As you might expect, this is an area also I know that we're yet to see Westlake's final conclusions. But I would just like to emphasize that, again, referring back to that original ICANN board resolution of September the other year, and indeed a recognition of the fact that ICANN stakeholders have radically changed over the last year or so, means that I would hope we're going to see some substantial, innovative and interesting and future-looking conclusions in Section 10, because without that, I fear this report will be largely irrelevant for the future of ICANN and the future of the GNSO, and this would be a huge opportunity missed. So my emotional and rational appeal to Westlake is please to think about this perhaps harder than they thought about any other section report so far.
Thank you, Philip. Richard, is that a new hand for you?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Jen. Just responding to Philip, yes, we will have a section which is really very much in the formative stage, or was in the formative stage when the working text was put together, Philip, focusing particularly on, obviously, the GTLD expansion, IDNs, the who is replacement, and what I think we would refer to as the shift in the center of gravity of the internet as a whole. And so we will be having a fairly significant section referring particularly to those four key topics and the impacts, because as we completely agree with you that the aim of the report is to be useful as a forward-looking review, not just simply a rearvision mirror snapshot of where it is and where it's come from. Thank you, Philip.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other comments or suggestions you'd like to make to Westlake on Section 10? Yes, Rafiq. Are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thanks. So regarding the Section 10, so it's about the structure for, and there are several comments collected there, but just I want to understand, I don't see any numbers or stats there. It looks, just to understand how they get this comment and suggestion regarding the structure, because I see some that's kind of concerning.
I think you're fine.
But looking to know how they get that recommendation up on that, it's kind of Sorry?
No, you dropped out for a second, but I think is your question to Richard, how did you arrive at these conclusions? Is that right?
Yeah, first, I mean, to try to understand, because reading that section, I mean, it looks, they just kind of took some suggestion, but we don't know the weight. I mean, if someone's suggesting, like, remove a whole group, I would like to know how much weight this suggestion has. I mean, you cannot just collect comments without giving them some weight, I mean, to understand how many people supported or not that and how they reached such conclusion.
Great. Thank you. That is a great comment. And Richard, I assume you can take that into consideration as you look at it.
Almost certainly we will. As you see, we haven't yet completed or haven't yet submitted our recommendations in this area. The reality, though, is that some recommendations do rely on a subjective professional assessment rather than you can't always have hard evidence on everything, particularly views relating to the future. So there will be a professional opinion, and where that is the case, we're certainly making that point in the report. So those who read the report will know what conclusions and recommendations are based on.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Are there further comments on Section 10?
Sorry, Richard, but saying sorry. I was trying to comment again.
Go ahead, please.
So saying professional, I mean subjective professional, I mean subjective professional kind of recommendation, it looks kind of euphemism for me. I think we need to be careful here in how we are reaching conclusion. I think we need much more to understand what kind of process or flow that led to such logical result. I mean, I'm a little bit uncomfortable how we can just took some observation. We don't know how it was they were selected, and then we can make some. We set some recommendation. I mean that need really to be reworked and more. I will be happy to provide more comment later, but I think that part really need to be reworked.
No, thank you for the comment. And yes, certainly, if you want to expand upon that in writing. We'll make sure that gets included. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Are there any other comments? We've got about 15 minutes remaining in our call, and I want to give Westlake an opportunity to give us an update on what they'll be providing next and what our timeline is before we close out. But are there any other comments on Section 10 or any other closing comments on the working text as it is right now? Any new comments? Okay, so obviously we've had a lot of discussion and important feedback for Westlake about concerns about certain statements that have been made and the interviews, and I know they'll take that all into consideration and provide responses to that where they think that's appropriate. I want to give Richard an opportunity to just give us an update on the work that's still in progress and what we'll expect as we move forward in our timeline, and then we'll close out with just looking at our timeline again and determine if we need another phone call before we move this forward. So, Richard, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, Jen. Now, our process is that next week we are providing an update of the working text, which will include the areas where we have said further comments are due. Now, those won't incorporate feedback in relation to the comments we have received either previously to this or in today's call. As you know, you are scheduled to provide us with a comments by the 20th of March. We then shall consider all of those and incorporate all of those where it's appropriate or we consider it appropriate into what will become the draft report in April. And that's when you could expect to see responses, consideration of and in many cases inclusion of the comments, the feedback, the concerns, and responses to some of the concerns in the draft report that will come out in April. So don't expect the responses to today's comments, please, next week with the new working text. They will come in the draft when we consider the full set of responses that we have asked for. And we do look forward to some constructive feedback, constructive input, and objective pointing demonstration of where we have been in error. And I'm perfectly happy to accept that we may well have been in factual error in some cases, and we may have drawn conclusions based on false assumptions, and we would be very happy to have any counters to those pointed out to us so that we can make sure that our report is balanced when it gets to the draft. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. And I see there's a couple of hands up. If I could ask staff to put up the time frame for us on screen, because I just want to make sure that we're clear with everyone on what our time frame is to continue to provide feedback and how this will move forward. So while they put that up, I'll go ahead and go to the hands. I see, Mike, your hand is up.
Yeah. This timing is way too fast. You're giving us a report on the 10th, which is going to have a whole bunch of new conclusions that nobody's seen yet, except you guys. And you're going to ask us to have substantive comments back to you in 10 days. It's not nearly enough. I need 30 days for that, I think.
Well, so just now that they have the report up, let's just talk through that again for a moment. So obviously today is the day that we're providing our initial feedback, and we will continue to collect from everyone in writing up until March 20th. And then the draft report will be provided on April 21st. There is still this public comment period, so I guess that would be my only response to that, Mike, and I definitely understand. I know this is a lot of information to digest and turn around, but we will have time for public comments from the community so every group can go and provide their comments. So do you feel like with the public comment period, that's going to give sufficient time to really further digest? Because we'll have, that's going to be between June 12th and July 7th.
You're completely undercutting the input from this group, which is the only group that's really paid attention to this 138-page report since it was published a month ago. Complete, significantly incomplete, lots of conclusions missing that now you're going to dump on us with 10 days before you make the report public. It's not acceptable.
Larissa, do we have any flexibility on the timing on this issue?
Hi, Jen. This is Larissa. So I just wanted, before I answer your question, I just wanted to clarify because it may be a little confusing on the chart that appears on the screen right now, that draft report would be posted for public comment on April 23rd and would stay open for public comment for the full period of April 23rd through June 4th. Then based on the new public comment process requirements, community has between the 12th of June and the 7th of July to provide any a clarification on comments that were summarized by staff that didn't truly reflect the nature of what the community expected. So the full public comment period is April 23rd through June 4th, and then actually on through later in June. As far as flexibility on the timeline, I'd like to find out what this group would find acceptable, and it sounded like there was a request for 30 days to review the additional information that was submitted by Westlake. That's something that we will have to take a look at the schedule. As you know, we've had extensive changes and extensions on this project. So certainly quality trumps timeline, but there are contractual and other considerations that staff will need to take up before I can give you a conclusive answer.
Thanks. Fair enough. But whatever you agreed in your contract with Westlake, I mean, we don't have a complete report as we sit here today, and we're not going to have one for at least a week. and then you want us to turn around, you know, informed thoughts about it in 10 days. It's not nearly enough.
Thank you, Mike. I see Stephanie has her hand up as well. Let me have Stephanie jump in.
Yes, I was certainly asking to slow down the train on this. I think it is a bit much to ask Westlake to take this kind of feedback on board in any substantive way. And I would like to say that we are trying to improve this document in a positive way. I'm not volunteering my time on this, just the obstructive, trying to help come up with something that's actually going to guide the GNSO over the next few years. I agree with the statement much earlier that if this isn't future-oriented, and that's the chunk we haven't seen, it's just going to sit on the shelf. And I think that this whole discussion about timeline underscores the point that I made a few minutes ago. This may be on somebody's management contract at ICANN to get it out and done and ticked and responded to a report. And I mean that in the nicest way. I had management contracts, too, before I retired. But from the point of view of the volunteers, we want this to help us solve problems, solve turmoil, clarify the rules, get new recruits, stop burnout. There's a whole lot of really important goals here that this report will help serve. And if it goes out too soon and is inadequate, you won't get comments. And I gave you a whole pile of data on why I think the comment period isn't working. But rushing reports out the door is one of those reasons. So please slow down, have another look, give us a chance, and give Westlake a chance to put out a better document. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. And just to let the group know, because I know there are a lot of people on this call that might not have been participating all along, but in the early phases, we have been able to secure extensions of time when we wanted to ensure that we had more results to expand the scope of the survey. So we have been expanding beyond what was originally agreed to numerous times, and I think we just need to make sure that can work. I think everyone agrees we want to put out the best quality report and that we can provide our feedback to Westlake and that they have time to consider all of that feedback. Bill, I think your hand is up new, and then I see Larissa, and I think we've got about 5 more minutes before the close of the meeting. So, Bill, you're okay? All right, Larissa, please.
Hi, Jen. This is Larissa. Thank you very much. Stephanie, very much appreciate your comments and actually very much appreciate everybody that's on the call taking the time to take part in this and provide feedback. Very constructive, and definitely I will respond on behalf of staff that everybody's interest to make sure that the outcome of this process is productive and useful and makes specific improvements. So please allow staff to come up with a timeline and respond to you that makes sense, and we'll be flexible and do our best to accommodate your request. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Did I see any other comments as we close out? So anything else? Any other remaining comments? There was a question of, do we want to schedule in another phone call like this before, I suppose it would be before the March 20th deadline. Do we feel we need another call, or do you think that you can provide in writing to the Westlake team? Is there a sense? I'll try to watch chat. Or Stephanie, is that a new hand I see?
I might as well, seeing as how it's up.
Okay,
I think we need another meeting. I really do think we need to go over the next draft. There's too many bits missing. Thanks.
Okay, so would it be fair to say we don't want to have another meeting until we get a second draft? Is that correct? Once we have another draft, we should have another phone call? Yes. Oh,
yeah,
Ron.
Jen, this is Ron. Jen, this is Ron. I was actually going to ask exactly that question. I'm a little confused now. We've been going back and forth. I think most of us agree that with the recommendation that we can't keep the window too tight because we need to go back to our constituencies and our stakeholder groups and so forth and share with us this information and gather it back. The question I have is, when will we see what I'll call version 2.0 of this coming out of Westlake? And that will then help inform whether or not we can deliver comments by the 20th and whether we need a call. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Klaus, I see your hands up. Please go ahead. Are you there, Klaus? Klaus, are you there? Okay, we're not hearing you. Your mic is muted. Are you there? Okay, for some reason we're not hearing you.
We're not.
Okay, so I think we have some consensus that a phone call would make sense after we see the next draft, and we will work to find out what we need to do to extend the time frame on this in order to provide comments. Klaus, are you there now? Sorry, we're not hearing you. Okay, are there any other comments? We're right at the time to close out the meeting. Are there any further comments anyone would like to make? Okay, thank you then. I think that'll bring the meeting to a close. I appreciate everyone's time. I know there's a lot involved in reviewing the reports, and we appreciate your feedback and comments. Our goal, of course, remains to make this a very valid, strong report that can help us all make the changes that we want. Thank you very much.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.